nervous about this moment. I expect you might be. I've been wondering and praying about you for months, ever since I first read the church information form that announced this position and felt the beginning of a tickle of a clock. I have looked at your names in the directory, curious to match names to faces. I have felt excitement about your ethnic and racial diversity, your welcome of LGBT persons, and your commitments to social justice. I've been excited about the variety of music I've heard, and so far, you've made a pretty good showing. From what I know about you, you care deeply about this church and community. In the time since your last pastor left, many of you have stepped up your game in leadership to keep this ministry going strong. Some of you have left your comfort zones to do so, perhaps sacrificing time you normally spend doing other things, or making phone calls or visitations you've never made before. Maybe some of you have held another member in care and prayer during the loss of a loved one, and represented the church, even when you didn't know the right words to say, as if there are right words to say. While you're probably eager to loosen the reins a bit, you still want to make sure this church is in good hands. And so you may wonder, as you look at me standing here, can I buy what she's selling? Hopefully you can. We have some time to figure that out. You will have to listen to how I shape stories and meaning and weave the messages of Jesus into church life, and share care for you as we get to know one another and work with you to offer that care beyond these walls. And at the same time, I will be looking and listening for what it is you offer, what gifts God has brought to you, and how you share them in your lives and in your community. Living in Midtown Manhattan, you should know that my wife and I are looking for longer-term housing, but in the interim period, for 2 months, her company is paying for us to live in Midtown in corporate housing. Not bad. We only have to go 2 feet out the door of our building before somebody tries to sell us something. The first person is a candy nut man. He's 2 feet out our door. And then at the corner is a fruit vendor. And then across the street is an ice cream truck. Not to mention the dozens of restaurants lining the one-block radius of where we live. When we first got here, each evening our family would decide what to do for dinner, and Chris would often say, well, it's a really beautiful day out. Why don't we go eat outside in an outdoor cafe? Then we realized that our wallets and our waistlines could not deal with so many beautiful days in a row. Add to the temptations of 4-year-olds, who is wide-eyed and newly primed as a consumer. We're trying to teach her that just because something is available doesn't mean we need to buy it. But truthfully, we also need reminders of that lesson as well. Lydia, in the book of Acts, had to have been a shrewd businesswoman. The artistry of creating purple-dyed cloth involved gathering the excretions of a certain snail from the seas around Tyre and Phoenicia. It was painstaking work. Commentaries suggest that Lydia might have been a slave who earned enough money to buy her freedom. To be an independent businesswoman must have taken wisdom and grit in that time and place. In those days, your woman card got you far less than it does today. I imagine Lydia did not buy anything just because it was available. And yet, Paul made the gospel of Jesus Christ available, and Lydia took no hesitation before buying it. She immediately and eagerly asked to be baptized, along with her household too. And then she welcomes the missionaries into her home as guests. In doing so, Lydia stands at the threshold of the Christian movement, spreading from beyond the Asia Minor and on into Europe. Lydia's home serves as a portal to uncharted territories for Paul and his band of missionaries as they witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. Lydia is a Gentile, not a Jew, and yet she's already a worshiper of God. She is gathered down by the river to pray, along with other women on the Sabbath. Upon hearing Paul, she opened her heart eagerly. God opened her heart, and she asked for baptism for herself and her household. Her hospitality to Paul and his band is her response to being welcomed into the love of God and in Jesus Christ. We do not know, but we may wonder if she used her resources as a merchant of purple cloth, only sold to the very wealthy who could afford such a luxury, to support the spread of the good news into new borders. I am struck by this earthy, physical presence of Lydia, with her textured, richly colored purple cloth, as she offers hospitality and welcome in her home. You know, there is a unique way each family's home smells when you walk into it. The smell tells you things like what animals they have, what they cook and eat, what they clean with, or if they clean at all. The scent from the garden coming up through an open window. The layers of years that they have been in one place. We become smell blind to our own homes, but our guests know the smells of how we live. And that is one of the most personal experiences of visiting another's home. We might imagine Paul and his band of missionaries walking in to Lydia's home, smelling their surroundings, taking off their shoes as they enter, seeing the rich purple cloth folded on shelves against the wall. We can wonder what they ate, where they slept, the conversations they had about the Christian faith while they put wine to their lips. Contrast that with Jesus' words, which are words of departure rather than embodied presence. I'm going away. I'm coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father. There is no home mentioned in this passage. And if you could conjure up the smell, it is of Jesus' breath as he speaks these words. And perhaps it is his body, which is physically present as he shares these words with his disciples. But it is a body that will also disappear. What will be left, Jesus tells them, is an advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in Jesus' name. While the rock band Nirvana won a Grammy for their song, Smells Like Teen Spirit, I cannot imagine a smell for the Holy Spirit. The physicality of the Holy Spirit seems elusive in every way. In fact, it is such a surprising thing, though, because Jesus' ministry on earth was very physical. There was a breaking of the breath. There was spitting into the dirt and making a mud paste to put on the eyes of the blind man who could then see. There was an overturning of the money tables in the temples. We even witnessed Jesus' physical death throughout the different gospel perspectives, a brutal, traumatic experience as he breathes his last. But in contrast to all this physicality, here we see a Jesus announcing to his disciples, his friends, that he will no longer be physically present with them. He must depart. Here at the Presbyterian Church in Leonia, there may be some lingering confusion, grief, or even fear. just as the disciples felt over Jesus announcing his departure. You have recently said goodbye to a pastor who served you well for 15 years, and for many, shared some of the most important moments of your lives. I understand Reverend Deborah Gibbon left this church in a vital, healthy place, and for that I am thankful. I look around and see that you have a robust and diverse laity that has also served this church well. As we stand together here at the threshold of a new age in this time of transition, I look forward to helping you explore where and how Jesus will send the Holy Spirit to be with you and offer you vision and help for the shaping of the church. When Jesus left, he promised his followers he would not leave them alone. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, is coming to teach us and to remind us of all the things that Jesus said. As we move toward Pentecost, which is 2 weeks from today, and is a day we celebrate the Holy Spirit's descent in the beginning of the Christian church, let us consider welcome, as Lydia showed, both in the Christian message and those who give and receive the Christian message, as an important way the Holy Spirit makes an embodied presence. As we come to know one another, the textures of our personalities, the accents of our different tongues, the smells of one another's home, and please, if I ever come to visit you, don't feel like you need to freeze your house. The vision of the Holy Spirit on each other's faces, and the taste of shared communion. May it be but a short and nurturing stopping ground, as we then turn beyond ourselves to offer that same hospitality, that same welcome to the next Lydias we have yet to meet in this changing era of church. May it be so. Amen.